So you're not going to punish me?
No. I'm an in-the-moment kind of guy.
I've noticed, she teases, and that makes me smile.
You can hang up now, Miss Steele.
Do you really want me to, sir?
Go to bed, Anastasia.
Yes, sir.
She doesn't hang up, and I know she's grinning. It lifts my spirits higher. Do you ever think you'll be able to do what you're told? I ask.
Maybe. We'll see after Sunday,
she says, temptress that she is, and the line goes dead. Anastasia Steele, what am I going to do with you? Actually, I have a good idea, provided that riding crop turns up in time. And with that enticing thought, I toss down the rest of the Armagnac and go to bed. Saturday, May 28th, 2011.
Christian!
Mia squeals with delight and runs toward me, abandoning her cartload of luggage. Throwing her arms around my neck, she hugs me tightly.
I've missed you,
she says. I've missed you too. I give her a squeeze in return. She leans back and examines me with intense dark eyes.
You look good, she gushes. Tell me about this girl.
Let's get you and your luggage home first. I grab her cart, which weighs a ton, and together we head out of the airport terminal toward the parking lot. So, how was Paris? You appear to have brought most of it home with you.
C'est incroyable, she exclaims.
Flaubert, on the other hand, was a bastard.
Jesus.
He was a horrible man. A crap teacher, but a good chef. Does that mean you're cooking this evening?
Oh, I was hoping Mom would cook.
Mia proceeds to talk nonstop about Paris, her tiny room, the plumbing, Sacré-Cœur, Montmartre, Parisians, coffee, red wine, cheese, fashion, shopping. But mainly about fashion and shopping. And I thought she went to Paris to learn to cook. I've missed her chatter. It's soothing and welcome. She is the only person I know who doesn't make me feel different.
This is your baby sister, Christian. Her name is Mia. Mommy lets me hold her. She is very small, with black, black hair. She smiles. She has no teeth. I stick out my tongue. She has a bubbly laugh. Mommy lets me hold the baby again. Her name is Mia. I make her laugh. I hold her and hold her. She is safe when I hold her. Elliot is not interested in Mia. She dribbles and cries. And he wrinkles his nose when she does a poop. When Mia is crying, Elliot ignores her. I hold her and hold her, and she stops. She falls asleep in my arms.
Mia,
I whisper.
What did you say? Mommy asks, and her face is white like chalk.
Mia.
Yes. Yes, darling boy. Mia. Her name is Mia. And Mommy starts to cry with happy, happy tears.
I turn into the driveway, pull up outside Mom and Dad's front door, unload Mia's luggage, and carry it into the hall.
Where is everyone?
Mia is in full pout. The only person around is my parents' housekeeper. She's an exchange student, and I can't remember her name.
Welcome home,
she says to Mia in her stilted English, though she's looking at me with big cow eyes. Oh, God, it's just a pretty face, sweetheart. Ignoring the housekeeper, I address Mia's question. I think Mom is on call and Dad is at a conference. You did come home a week early.
I couldn't stand Flaubert another minute. I had to get out while I could. Oh, I bought you a present.
She grabs one of her cases, opens it up in the hallway, and starts rummaging through it.
Ah!
She hands me a heavy square box.
Open it,
she urges, beaming at me. She is an unstoppable force. Warily, I open the box, and inside I find a snow globe containing a black grand piano covered in glitter. It's the kitschiest thing I've ever seen.
It's a music box. Here.
She takes it from me, gives it a good shake, and winds a small key on the bottom. A twinkly version of La Marseillaise starts to play in a cloud of colored glitter. What am I going to do with this? I laugh because it's so Mia. That's great, Mia. Thank you. I give her a hug, and she hugs me back.
I knew it would make you laugh.
She's right. She knows me well.
So tell me about this girl, she says.
But we're both distracted as Grace hurries through the door, allowing me a reprieve as mother and daughter embrace.
I'm so sorry I wasn't there to meet you, darling, Grace says. I've been on call. You look so grown up.
Christian, can you take Mia's bags upstairs? Gretchen will give you a hand. Really? I'm a porter now? Yes, Mom. I roll my eyes. I don't need Gretchen mooning over me. Once that's done, I tell them that I have an appointment with my trainer. I'll be back this evening. Quickly kissing them both, I leave before I'm pestered with more questions about Anna. Bastille, my trainer, works me hard. Today we're kickboxing at his gym. You've gone soft in Portland, boy, he sneers after I'm toppled onto the mat from his roundhouse kick. Bastille is from the Hard Knocks School of Physical Training, which suits me fine. I scramble to my feet. I want to take him down, but he's right. He's all over my shit today, and I get nowhere. When we finish, he asks, What gives? You're distracted, man. Life, you know. I answer with an air of indifference. Sure. You're back in Seattle this week? Yeah. Good. We'll straighten you out. As I jog back to the apartment, I remember the housewarming present for Anna. I text Elliot. What's Anna and Kate's address? I want to surprise them with a present. He texts me back an address, and I forward it to Andrea. As I'm riding in the elevator up to the penthouse, Andrea texts me back.
Champagne and balloon sent. A.
Taylor hands me a package when I arrive back at the apartment. This came for you, Mr. Gray. Oh, yes. I recognize the anonymous wrapping. It's the writing crop. Thanks. Mrs. Jones said she'd be back tomorrow, late afternoon. Okay. I think that's all for today, Taylor. Very good, sir, he says with a polite smile, and returns to his office. Taking the crop, I stroll into my bedroom. This will be the perfect introduction to my world. By her own admission, Anna has no sphere of reference with regard to corporal punishment, except the spanking I gave her that night. And that turned her on. With the crop, I'll have to take it slow and make it pleasurable. Really pleasurable. The riding crop is perfect. I'll prove to her that the fear is in her head. Once she gets comfortable with this, we can move on. I hope we can move on. We'll take it slow, and we'll only do what she can handle. If this is going to work, we're going to have to go at her pace, not mine. I take one more look at the crop and put it in my closet for tomorrow. As I flip open my laptop to start work, my phone rings. I hope it's Anna, but it's disappointingly Elena. Was I supposed to call her? Hello, Christian. How are you? Good, thanks. You're back from Portland? Yes. Fancy dinner tonight? Not tonight. Mia's just in from Paris, and I've been ordered home.
Ah, by Mama Gray.
How is she? Mama Gray? She's good, I think. Why? What do you know that I don't?
I was just asking, Christian. Don't be so touchy.
I'll call you next week. Maybe we can do dinner then.
Good. You've been off the radar for a while, and I've met a woman who I think might meet your needs.
So have I. I ignore her comment. I'll see you next week. Goodbye. As I shower, I wonder if having to chase Anna has made her more interesting. Or is it Anna herself? Dinner has been fun. My sister is back, the princess she's always been. The rest of the family merely her minions, wrapped around her little finger. With all her children home, Grace is in her element. She's cooked Mia's favorite meal, buttermilk fried chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy. I have to say, it's one of my favorites, too.
Tell me about Anastasia, Mia demands as we sit around the kitchen table.
Elliot leans back in his chair and rests his hands behind his head. This I have to hear. You know she popped his cherry.
Elliot,
Grace scolds and swats him with a dish towel.
Ow!
He fends her off. I roll my eyes at all of them. I met a girl, I shrug. End of story.
You can't just say that,
Mia objects, pouting. Mia, I think he can, and he just did. Carrick gives her a reproving paternal stare over his glasses.
You'll all meet her at dinner tomorrow, won't we, Christian?
Grace says with a pointed smile. Oh, fuck. Kate's coming, Elliot goads. Fucking stirrer. I glare at him.
I can't wait to meet her. She sounds awesome.
Mia bounces up and down in her chair. Yeah, yeah, I mumble, wondering if there's any way I can wriggle out of dinner tomorrow.
Elena was asking after you, darling,
Grace says. She was? I affect an uninterested air developed over years of practice.
Yes, she says she hasn't seen you in a while.
I've been in Portland on business. Speaking of which, I should get going. I have an important call tomorrow and I need to prepare.
But you've not had dessert, and it's apple cobbler.
Tempting. But if I stay, they'll quiz me about Anna. I have to go. I have work to do.
Darling, you work too hard, Grace says, as she starts from her chair.
Don't get up, Mom. I'm sure Elliot will help with the dishes after dinner.
What?
Elliot scowls. I wink at him, say my goodbyes, and turn to leave.
But we'll see you tomorrow?
Grace asks, too much hope in her voice. We'll see. Shit. It looks like Anastasia Steele is going to meet my family. I don't know how I feel about this. Sunday, May 29th, 2011. With the Rolling Stones' Shake Your Hips blasting in my ears, I sprint down 4th Avenue and turn right on Vine. It's 6:45 in the morning, and it's downhill all the way to her apartment. I'm drawn. I just want to see where she lives. It's between Control Freak and Stalker. I chuckle to myself. I'm just running. It's a free country. The apartment block is a nondescript red brick with dark green painted window frames typical of the area. It's in a good location near the intersection of Vine Street and Western. I imagine Anna curled up in her bed under her comforter and her cream and blue quilt. I run several blocks and turn down into the market. The vendors are setting up for business. I dodge between the fruit and vegetable trucks and the refrigerated vans delivering the catch of the day. This is the heart of the city. Vibrant, even this early on a gray, cool morning. The water on the Sound is a glassy, leaden color, matching the sky. But it does nothing to dampen my spirits. Today's the day. After my shower, I don jeans and a linen shirt, and from my chest of drawers, I take out a hair tie. I slip it into my pocket and head into my study to email Anna. From Christian Gray. Subject: My life in numbers. Date: May 29th, 2011, 8:04 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. If you drive, you'll need this access code for the underground garage at Escala. 146963. Park in Bay 5. It's one of mine. Code for the elevator: 1880. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. A moment or two later, there's a response. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, an excellent vintage. Date, May 29th, 2011, 8:08 a.m. To Christian Gray.
Yes, sir. Understood. Thank you for the champagne and the blow-up Charlie Tango, which is now tied to my bed. Anna.
An image of Anna tethered to her bed with my tie comes to mind. I shift in my chair. I hope she's brought that bed to Seattle. From Christian Gray. Subject, envy. Date, May 29th, 2011, 8:11 a.m. To Anastasia Steele. You're welcome. Don't be late. Lucky Charlie Tango. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Incorporated. She doesn't respond, so I hunt through the refrigerator for some breakfast. Gail has left me some croissants and, for lunch, a Caesar salad with chicken, enough for two. I hope Anna will eat this. I don't mind having it 2 days in a row. Taylor appears while I'm eating my breakfast.
Good morning, Mr. Gray. Here are the Sunday papers.
Thanks. Anastasia is coming over at 1 today, and a Dr. Green at 1:30.
Very good, sir. Anything else on the agenda today?
Yes. Anna and I will be going to my parents for dinner this evening. Taylor cocks his head, looking momentarily surprised, but he remembers himself and leaves the room. I return to my croissant and apricot jam.
Yeah, I'm taking her to meet my parents. What's the big deal?
I can't settle. I'm restless. It's 12:15 p.m. Time is crawling today. I give up on work and, grabbing the Sunday papers, wander back into the living room, where I switch on some music and read. To my surprise, there's a photograph of Anna and me on the local news page, taken at the graduation ceremony at WSU. She looks lovely, if a little startled. I hear the double doors open, and there she is. Her hair is loose, a little wild and sexy, and she's wearing that purple dress she wore to dinner at the Heathman. She looks gorgeous. Bravo, Miss Steele.
That dress.
My voice is full of admiration as I saunter toward her. Welcome back, Miss Steele, I whisper, and, holding her chin, I give her a tender kiss on the lips.
Hi,
she says, her cheeks a little rosy. You're on time. I like punctual. Come. Taking her hand, I lead her to the sofa. I wanted to show you something. We both sit, and I pass her the Seattle Times. The photograph makes her laugh. Not quite the reaction I was expecting.
So I'm your friend now, she teases.
So it would appear. And it's in the newspaper, so it must be true. I'm calmer now that she's here. Probably because she's here. She hasn't run. I tuck her soft, silky hair behind her ear. My fingers are itching to braid it.
So, Anastasia, you have a much better idea of what I'm about since you were last here.
Yes. Her gaze is intense, knowing. And yet you've returned. She nods, giving me a coy smile. I can't believe my luck.
I knew you were a freak, Anna.
Have you eaten?
No.
Not at all? Okay. We'll have to fix this. I drag my hand through my hair, and in as even a tone as I can manage, I ask, Are you hungry?
Not for food, she teases.
Whoa. She might as well be addressing my groin. Leaning forward, I press my lips to her ear and catch her intoxicating scent.
You are as eager as ever, Miss Steele. And just to let you in on a little secret, so am I. But Dr. Green is due here shortly.
I lean against the sofa. I wish you'd eat. It's a plea.
What can you tell me about Dr. Green?
She deftly changes the subject. She's the best OBGYN in Seattle. What more can I say? That's what my doctor told my PA, anyway.
I thought I was seeing your doctor. And don't tell me you're really a woman, because I won't believe you.
I suppress my snort. I think it's more appropriate that you see a specialist. Don't you? She gives me a quizzical look, but she nods. One more topic to tackle. Anastasia, my mother would like you to come to dinner this evening. I believe Elliot is asking Kate, too. I don't know how you feel about that. It will be odd for me to introduce you to my family. She takes a second to process the information, then tosses her hair over her shoulder in that way she does before a fight. But she looks hurt, not argumentative.
Are you ashamed of me?
She sounds choked. Oh, for heaven's sake. Of course not. Of all the ridiculous things to say, I glare at her, aggrieved. How could she think that about herself?
Why is it odd? She asks.
Because I've never done it before. I sound irritable.
Why are you allowed to roll your eyes and I'm not?
I wasn't aware that I was. She's calling me out, again.
Neither am I, usually, she snaps.
Shit, are we arguing? Taylor clears his throat.
Dr. Green is here, sir, he says.
Show her up to Miss Steele's room. Anna turns and looks at me, and I hold out my hand to her.
You're not going to come as well, are you?
She's horrified and amused at once. I laugh, and my body stirs. I'd pay very good money to watch. Believe me, Anastasia, but I don't think the good doctor would approve. She places her hand in mine, and I pull her up into my arms and kiss her. Her mouth is soft and warm and inviting. My hands glide into her hair, and I deepen the kiss. When I pull away, she looks dazed. I press my forehead to hers. I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to get you naked. I can't believe how much I missed you.
Come on, I want to meet Dr. Green, too.
You don't know her?
No.
I take Anna's hand and we head upstairs to what will be her bedroom. Dr. Green has one of those myopic stares. It's penetrating, and that makes me a tad uncomfortable.
Mr. Gray, she says, shaking my outstretched hand with a firm, no-nonsense grip.
Thank you for coming on such short notice. I flash her my most benign smile.
Thank you for making it worth my while, Mr. Gray.
Miss Steele, she says politely to Anna, and I know she's sizing up our relationship. I'm sure that she thinks I should be twiddling a mustache like a silent movie villain. She turns and gives me a pointed leave now kind of look.
Okay.
I'll be downstairs, I acquiesce. Though I would like to watch. I'm sure the good doctor's reaction would be priceless if I made that request. I smirk at the thought and head downstairs to the living room. Now that Anna's no longer with me, I'm restless again. As a distraction, I set the counter with two placemats. It's the second time I've done this, and the first time was for Anna, too.
You're going soft, Gray.
I select a Chablis to have with lunch, one of the few Chardonnays I like. And when I'm done, I take a seat on the sofa and browse through the sports section of the paper. Turning up the volume via the remote for my iPod, I hope the music will help me focus on stats from last night's Mariners win against the Yankees, rather than what's happening upstairs between Anna and Dr. Green. Eventually, their footsteps echo in the corridor, and I look up as they enter.
Are you done?
I ask, and hit the remote for the iPod to quiet the aria.
Yes, Mr. Gray. Look after her. She's a beautiful, bright young woman.
What has Anna told her? I fully intend to, I say, with a quick what-the-fuck glance at Anna. She bats her lashes, clueless.
Good.
It's nothing she said, then.
I'll send you my bill, says Dr. Green. Good day and good luck to you, Anna.
The edges of her eyes crinkle with a warm smile as we shake hands. Taylor escorts her toward the elevator and wisely closes the double doors to the foyer. "How was that?" I ask, a little bemused by Dr. Green's words.
"Fine, thank you,"
Anna answers.
"She said that I had to abstain from all sexual activity for the next 4 weeks."
"What the hell?" I gape at her in shock. Anna's earnest expression dissolves into one of taunting triumph.
"Gotcha."
"Well played, Miss Steele." My eyes narrow and her grin vanishes. "Gotcha." I can't help my smirk. Reaching around her waist, I pull her against me, my body hungering for her. "You are incorrigible, Miss Steele." I weave my hands through her hair and kiss her hard, wondering if I should fuck her over the kitchen counter as a lesson. "All in good time, Gray. As much as I'd like to take you here and now, you need to eat, and so do I. I don't want you passing out on me later," I whisper.
"Is that all you want me for? My body?" she asks.
"That and your smart mouth." I kiss her once more, thinking of what's to come. My kiss deepens and desire hardens my body. I want this woman. Before I fuck her on the floor, I release her, and we're both breathless.
"What's the music?"
she says, her voice hoarse. "Via Lobos, an aria from Baquianas Brasileiras." "Good, isn't it?"
"Yes,"
she says, gazing at the breakfast bar. I take the chicken Caesar out of the fridge, place it on the table between the placemats, and ask her if she's okay with salad.
"Yes, fine, thank you,"
she smiles. From the wine fridge, I take out the Chablis, feeling her eyes on me. I didn't know I could be so domestic.
"What are you thinking?" I ask. "I was just watching the way you move."
"And?" I ask, momentarily surprised.
"You're very graceful," she says quietly, her cheeks pink.
"Why, thank you, Miss Steele." I sit beside her, unsure how to respond to her sweet compliment. Nobody's called me graceful before.
"Chablis?" "Please."
"Help yourself to salad. Tell me, what method did you opt for?"
"Mini pill," she says.
"And will you remember to take it regularly at the right time every day?" A blush steals across her surprised face.
"I'm sure you'll remind me,"
she says with a hint of sarcasm, which I choose to ignore. "You should have had the shot." I'll put an alarm on my calendar. "Eat." She takes a bite, then another, and another. She's eating. "So I can put chicken Caesar on the list for Mrs. Jones?" I ask.
"I thought I'd be doing the cooking."
"Yes, you will." She finishes before I do. She must have been starving.
"Eager as ever, Miss Steele?"
"Yes," she says, giving me a demure look from beneath her lashes. Fuck, there it is. The attraction. As if under her spell, I get up and tug her into my arms. "Do you want to do this?" I whisper, inwardly begging her to say yes.
"I haven't signed anything."
"I know, but I'm breaking all the rules these days."
"Are you going to hit me?"
"Yes, but it won't be to hurt you. I don't want to punish you right now. If you'd caught me yesterday evening, well, that would have been a different story." Her face turns to shock. "Oh, baby." "Don't let anyone try to convince you otherwise, Anastasia. One of the reasons people like me to do this is because we either like to give or receive pain. It's very simple. You don't. So I spent a great deal of time yesterday thinking about that." I wrap my arms around her, holding her against my hardening erection.
"Did you reach any conclusions?"
she whispers. "No, and right now I just want to tie you up and fuck you senseless. Are you ready for that?" Her expression is darker, sensual, and full of carnal curiosity.
Yes,
she says, the word as soft as a sigh. Thank fuck. Good. Come. I lead her upstairs and into my playroom, my safe place, where I can do what I wish with her. I close my eyes, briefly savoring the exhilaration. Have I ever been this excited? Pushing the door shut behind us, I release her hand and study her. Her lips are parted as she inhales. Her breathing is quick and shallow. Her eyes are wide, ready, waiting. When you're in here, you are completely mine, to do with as I see fit. Do you understand? Her tongue quickly licks her upper lip, and she nods. Good girl. Take your shoes off. She swallows and proceeds to take off her high-heeled sandals. I pick them up and put them neatly by the door. Good. Don't hesitate when I ask you to do something. Now I'm going to peel you out of this dress, something I've wanted to do for a few days, if I recall. I pause, checking that she's still with me. I want you to be comfortable with your body, Anastasia. You have a beautiful body, and I like to look at it. It is a joy to behold. In fact, I could gaze at you all day. And I want you unembarrassed and unashamed of your nakedness. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, what? My tone is sharper.
Yes, sir.
Do you mean that? I want you unashamed, Anna.
Yes, sir.
Good. Lift your arms up over your head. Slowly, she raises her arms in the air. I grab the hem and gently pull the dress up her body, revealing it inch by inch, for my eyes only. When it's off, I stand back so I can have my fill of her. Legs, thighs, belly, ass, tits, shoulders, face, mouth. She's perfect. Folding her dress, I place it on the toy chest. Reaching up, I tug her chin. You're biting your lip. You know what that does to me? I scold. Turn around. She complies and turns to face the door. I unfasten her bra and pull the straps down her arms, skimming her skin with my fingertips as I do, and feeling her tremble beneath my touch. I take off her bra and toss it on top of her dress. I stand close, not quite touching her, listening to her rapid breathing and sensing the warmth radiating off her skin. She's excited, and she's not the only one. I gather her hair in both of my hands so it falls down her back. It's oh so silky to touch. I wind it around one hand and tug, angling her head to one side and exposing her neck to my mouth. I run my nose from her ear to her shoulder and back again, inhaling her heavenly scent. Fuck, she smells good. You smell as divine as ever, Anastasia. I place a kiss beneath her ear, just above her pulse. She moans. Quiet, don't make a sound. From my jeans pocket, I grab the hair tie, and taking her hair in my hands, I braid it, slowly, enjoying the pull and twist against her beautiful, flawless back. Deftly, I fasten the end with the hair tie and give it a quick tug, forcing her to step back and press her body into mine. I like your hair braided in here, I whisper. Turn around. She does so immediately. When I tell you to come in here, this is how you will dress, just in your panties. Do you understand?
Yes.
Yes, what?
Yes, sir.
Good girl. She's learning fast. Her arms are by her sides, her eyes trained on mine, waiting. When I tell you to come in here, I expect you to kneel over there. I point to the corner of the room beside the door. Do it now. She blinks a couple of times, but before I have to tell her again, she turns and kneels, facing me and the room. I give her permission to sit back on her heels, and she obliges. Place your hands and forearms flat on your thighs. Good. Now part your knees, wider. I want to see you, baby. Wider. See your sex. Perfect. Look down at the floor. Don't look at me or the room. You can sit there and let your thoughts run wild while you imagine what I'm going to do to you. I walk over to her, and I'm pleased that she keeps her head bowed. Reaching down, I tug her braid, tilting her head so that our eyes meet. Will you remember this position, Anastasia?
Yes, sir.
Good. Stay here. Don't move. Walking past her, I open the door and for a moment look back at her. Her head is bowed. Her eyes stay fixed on the floor. What a welcome sight. Good girl. I want to run, but I contain my eagerness and walk purposefully downstairs to my bedroom. Maintain some fucking dignity, Gray. In my closet, I strip off all my clothes, and from a drawer pull out my favorite jeans. My DJ's. Dom jeans. I slip them on and fasten all the buttons except the top one. From the same drawer, I retrieve the new riding crop and a gray waffle robe. As I leave, I grab a few condoms and stuff them into my pocket. Here goes. Showtime, Gray. When I get back, she's in the same position, her head bowed, her braid hanging down her back, her hands on her knees. I close the door and hang the robe on its hook. I walk past her. Good girl, Anastasia. You look lovely like that. Well done. Stand up. She stands, keeping her head down. You may look at me. Eager blue eyes peek up. I'm going to chain you now, Anastasia. Give me your right hand. I hold out mine, and she places her hand in it. Without taking my eyes off hers, I turn her hand palm up, and from behind my back produce the riding crop. I quickly flick the end across her palm. She startles and cups her hand, blinking at me in surprise. How does that feel? I ask. Her breathing accelerates, and she glances at me before looking back at her palm. Answer me. Okay. Her brows knit together. Don't frown, I warn. Did that hurt?
No.
This is not going to hurt. Do you understand?
Yes.
Her voice is a little shaky. I mean it, I stress, and I show her the crop. Brown-plated leather. See? I listen. Her eyes meet mine, astonished. My lips twitch in amusement. We aim to please, Miss Steele. Come. I lead her to the middle of the room beneath the restraining system. This grid is designed so the shackles move across the grid. She stares up at the intricate system, then back at me. We're going to start here, but I want to fuck you standing up, so we'll end up by the wall over there. I point to the St. Andrew's cross. Put your hands above your head. She does, immediately. Taking the leather cuffs that hang on the grid, I fasten one to each of her wrists in turn. I'm methodical, but she's distracting. Being this close to her, sensing her excitement, her anxiety, touching her, I find it hard to concentrate. Once she's cuffed, I step back and take a deep breath, relieved. Finally, I've got you where I want you, Anna Steele. Slowly, I walk around her, admiring the view. Could she look hotter? You look mighty fine trussed up like this, Miss Steele. And your smart mouth quiet for now. I like that. I stop, facing her, curl my fingers into her panties, and oh so slowly drag them down her long legs until I'm kneeling at her feet, worshipping her. She's glorious. With my eyes locked on hers, I take her panties, crush them to my nose, and inhale deeply. Her mouth pops open, and her eyes widen in amused shock. Yes, I smirk. Perfect reaction. I slip the panties into the back pocket of my jeans and stand, considering my next move. Holding out the crop, I run it over her belly and gently circle her navel with the keeper, the leather tongue. She sucks in her breath and tremors at the touch. This will be good, Anna. Trust me. Slowly I begin to circle her, drawing the crop across her skin, across her belly, her flank, her back. On my second circuit, I flick the tongue at the base of her behind so it makes sharp contact with her vulva.
Ah!
She cries, and she tugs against the shackles. Quiet, I warn, and prowl around her once more. I flick the crop against her in the same sweet spot, and she whines on contact, her eyes closed as she absorbs the sensation. With another twitch of my wrist, the crop snaps against her nipple. She throws her head back and moans. I aim again, and the crop licks her other nipple, and I watch it harden and lengthen beneath the bite of the leather keeper. Does that feel good?
Yes,
she rasps, eyes closed, head back. I smack her across her behind, harder this time. Yes, what?
Yes, sir,
she cries. Slowly and with care, I lavish strokes, licks, and flicks over her stomach and her belly, down her body toward my goal. With one flick, the leather tongue bites her clitoris, and she shouts out in a gargled cry,
Oh, please.
Quiet, I command, and reprimand her with a harder flick across her backside. I skim the leather tongue down through her pubic hair, against her vulva to her vagina. The brown leather is glistening with her arousal when I pull it back. See how wet you are for this, Anastasia. Open your eyes and your mouth. She's breathing hard, but she parts her lips and stares at me, her eyes dazed and lost in the carnality of the moment. And I slip the keeper into her mouth. See how you taste. Suck. Suck hard, baby. Her lips close around the tip, and it's like they're around my dick. Fuck. She's so fucking hot, and I can't resist her. Easing the crop from her mouth, I wrap my arms around her. She opens her mouth for me as I kiss her, my tongue exploring her, reveling in the taste of her lust. Oh, baby, you taste mighty fine, I whisper. Shall I make you come?
Please,
she pleads. One flick of my wrist and the crop smacks her behind. Please what?
Please, sir,
she whimpers. Good girl. I step back. With this? I ask, holding up the crop so she can see it.
Yes, sir,
she says, surprising me. Are you sure? I can barely believe my luck.
Yes, please, sir.
Oh, Anna, you fucking goddess. Close your eyes. She does as she's told, and with infinite care and not a little gratitude, I rain quick, stinging licks over her belly once more. Soon she's panting again, her arousal heightened. Moving south, I gently flick the leather tongue over her clitoris. Again, and again, and again. She pulls at her restraints, moaning and moaning. Then she's quiet, and I know she's close. Suddenly she throws her head back and mouth open, and she screams her orgasm as it shudders through her entire body. Instantly I drop the crop and grab her, supporting her as her body dissolves. She sags against me. Oh, we're not done, Anna. With my hands under her thighs, I lift her trembling body and carry her, still shackled to the grid, toward the St. Andrew's cross. There I release her, holding her upright, pinned between the cross and my shoulders. I tug my jeans, undoing all the buttons, and freeing my cock. Yanking a condom from my pocket, I rip the foil packet with my teeth, and with one hand roll it over my erection. Gently I pick her up again and whisper, Lift your legs, baby. Wrap them around me. Supporting her back against the wood, I help her wrap her legs around my hips, her elbows resting on my shoulders. You are mine,
baby. With one thrust, I'm inside her. Fuck, she's exquisite. I take a moment to savor her, then I start to move, relishing each thrust, feeling her, on and on, my own breathing labored as I gasp for air and lose myself in this beautiful woman. My mouth is open at her neck, tasting her. Her scent fills my nostrils, fills me. Anna. 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 I don't want to stop. Suddenly she tenses, and her body convulses around me. Yes, again. And I let go, filling her, holding her, revering her. Yes, yes, yes. She's so beautiful. And sweet hell was that mind-blowing. I pull out of her, and as she collapses against me, I quickly unbuckle her wrists from the grid and support her as we both sink to the floor. I cradle her between my legs, wrapping my arms around her, and she sags against me, her eyes closed, breathing hard. Well done, baby. Did that hurt?
No.
Her voice is barely audible. Did you expect it to? I ask, and I push stray strands of her hair off her face so I can see her better.
Yes.
You see? Most of your fear is in your head, Anastasia. I caress her face. Would you do it again? I ask. She doesn't answer immediately, and I think she's fallen asleep.
Yes,
she whispers a moment later. Thank you, sweet Lord. I wrap her in my arms. Good. So would I. Again and again. Tenderly, I kiss the top of her head and inhale. She smells of Anna and sweat and sex. And I haven't finished with you yet, I assert. I'm so proud of her. She did it. She did everything I wanted. She's everything I want. And suddenly I'm overwhelmed by an unfamiliar emotion that rocks through me, slicing through sinew and bone, leaving unease and fear in its wake. She turns her head and starts to nuzzle my chest. The darkness swells, startling and familiar, replacing my unease with a sense of dread. Every muscle in my body tenses. Anna blinks up at me with clear, unflinching eyes as I struggle to control my fear. Don't, I whisper. Please. She leans back and peers at my chest. Get control, Gray. Kneel by the door, I order, uncurling around her. Go, don't touch me. Shakily, she gets to her feet and stumbles over to the door, where she resumes her kneeling position. I take a deep, centering breath. What are you doing to me, Anna Steele? I stand and stretch, calmer now. As she kneels by the door, she looks every bit the ideal submissive. Her eyes are glazed. She's tired. I'm sure she's coming down from the adrenaline high. Her eyelids droop. Oh, this will never do. You want her as a submissive, Gray? Show her what that means. From my drawer of toys, I fish out one of the cable ties I bought from Clayton's and a pair of scissors. Boring you, am I, Miss Steele? I ask, masking my sympathy. She startles awake and regards me guiltily. Stand up, I order. Slowly she gets to her feet. You're shattered, aren't you? She nods with a bashful smile. Oh, baby, you've done so well. Stamina, Miss Steele. I haven't had my fill of you yet. Hold out your hands in front as if you're praying. A crease mars her forehead for a moment, but she presses her palms together and holds up her hands. I fasten the cable tie around her wrists. Her eyes flash to mine with recognition. Look familiar? I give her a smile and run my finger around the plastic, checking that there's enough room and it's not too tight. I have scissors here. I bring them into her view. I can cut you out of this in a moment. She looks reassured. Come. Taking her clasped hands, I lead her to the far corner of the four-poster bed. I want more. Much, much more. I whisper in her ear as she stares down at the bed. But I'll make this quick. You're tired. Hold on to the post. Halting, she grasps the wooden pillar. Lower, I order. She moves her hands down to the base until she's bending over. Good. Don't let go. If you do, I'll spank you. Understand?
Yes, sir,
she says. Good. I grab her hips and lift her toward me so she's properly positioned, her beautiful behind in the air and at my disposal. Don't let go, Anastasia, I warn her. I'm going to fuck you hard from behind. Hold the post to support your weight. Understand?
Yes.
I smack her hard across her backside.
Yes, sir,
she says immediately. Part your legs. I push my right foot against hers, widening her stance. That's better. After this, I'll let you sleep. Her back is a perfect curve, each vertebra outlined from her nape to her fine, fine ass. I trace the line with my fingers. You have such beautiful skin, Anastasia, I say to myself. Bending over her, I follow the path my fingers have taken with tender kisses down her spine. As I do, I palm her breasts, trapping her nipples between my fingers, and tug. She writhes beneath me, and I plant a soft kiss at her waist, then suck and gently nip her skin while working her nipples. She whimpers. I stop and stand back to admire the view, growing harder just looking at her. Reaching for a second condom from my pocket, I quickly kick my jeans off and open the foil packet. Using both hands, I wrap it around my cock. I'd like to claim her ass, now, but it's too soon for that. You have such a captivating, sexy ass. What I'd like to do to it... I stroke my hands over each cheek, fondling her, then slide two fingers inside her, stretching her. She whimpers again. She's ready. So wet. You never disappoint, Miss Steele. Hold tight. This is going to be quick, baby. Clutching her hips, I position myself at the entrance of her vagina, then reach up, grab her braid, wind it around my wrist, and hold it tightly. With one hand on my cock and the other around her hair, I slide into her. She is so fucking sweet. Slowly I slide out of her, then grip her hip with my free hand and tighten my hold on her hair. Submissive. I slam into her, forcing her forward with a cry. Hold on, Anastasia, I remind her. If she doesn't, she might get hurt. Breathless, she pushes back against me, bracing her legs. Good girl. Then I start pounding into her, eliciting small, strangled cries from her as she clings to the post. But she doesn't back down. She pushes back. Bravo, Anna. And then I feel it, slowly, her insides curling around me. Losing control, I slam into her, and still... Come on, Anna, give it to me, I growl, as I come, hard, her release prolonging mine as I hold her up. Gathering her in my arms, I lower us to the floor with Anna on top of me, both of us facing the ceiling. She's utterly relaxed, exhausted, no doubt, her weight a welcome comfort. I stare up at the carabiners, wondering if she'll ever let me suspend her. Probably not. And I don't care. Our first time together in here, and she's been a dream. I kiss her ear. Hold up your hands. My voice is husky. Slowly, she raises them as if they're weighted with concrete, and I slide the scissors beneath the cable tie. I declare this Anna open, I murmur, and snip, freeing her.
She giggles, her body juddering against mine. It's a strange and not unwelcome feeling that makes me grin. That is such a lovely sound, I whisper as she rubs her wrists. I sit up so that she's in my lap. I love making her laugh. She doesn't laugh enough. That's my fault, I admit to myself as I rub some life back into her shoulders and arms. She turns her face to me with a weary, searching look. That you don't giggle more often, I clarify. I'm not a great giggler, she says, and yawns. Oh, but when it happens, 'tis a wonder and joy to behold. Very flowery, Mr. Gray, she says, teasing me. I smile. I'd say you're thoroughly fucked and in need of sleep. That wasn't flowery at all, she scoffs, scolding me. Lifting her off my lap so I can stand up, I reach for my jeans and slip them on. Don't want to frighten Taylor or Mrs. Jones, for that matter. It wouldn't be the first time. Anna sits in a sleepy daze on the floor. I clasp her upper arms, help her to her feet, and take her to the door. From the hook on the back of the door, I grab the gray robe and dress her. She's no help whatsoever. She really is exhausted. Bed, I announce, kissing her quickly. An alarmed expression crosses her drowsy face. For sleep, I reassure her. And bending down, I gather her in my arms, cradle her against my chest, and carry her to the sub's room. There I pull back the comforter and lay her down, and in a moment of weakness climb into the bed beside her. Covering us both with the duvet, I embrace her. I'll just hold her until she's asleep. Sleep now, gorgeous girl. I kiss her hair, feeling utterly sated and grateful. We did it. This sweet, innocent woman let me loose on her. And I think she enjoyed it. I know I did. More than ever before. Mommy sits looking at me in the mirror with the big crack. I brush her hair. It's soft and smells of mommy and flowers. She takes the brush and winds her hair round and round, so it's like a bumpy snake down her back. There, she says, and she turns around and smiles at me. Today she's happy. I like when mommy is happy. I like it when she smiles at me. She looks pretty when she smiles. Let's bake a pie, maggot. Apple pie. I like when mommy bakes. Awake suddenly with a sweet scent invading my mind. It's Anna. She's fast asleep beside me. I lie back and stare at the ceiling. When have I ever slept in this room? Never. The thought is unnerving, and for some unfathomable reason it makes me uneasy. What's going on, Gray? I sit up carefully, not wanting to disturb her, and stare down at her sleeping form. I know what it is. I'm unsettled because I'm in here with her. I climb out of bed, leaving her to sleep, and head back to the playroom. There I collect the used cable tie and condoms and stash them in my pocket, where I find Anna's panties. With the crop, her clothes, and her shoes in hand, I leave and lock the door. Back in her room, I hang her dress on the closet door, place her shoes beneath the chair, and lay her bra on top. I take her panties from my pocket, and a wicked idea comes to mind. I head for my bathroom. I need a shower before we head to dinner with my family. I'll let Anna sleep a while longer. The piping hot water cascades over me, washing away all the anxiety and unease that I'd felt earlier. As first times go, that was not bad for either of us. And I'd thought that a relationship with Anna was impossible. But now the future now seems full of possibility. I make a mental note to call Caroline Acton in the morning to dress my girl. After a productive hour in my study, catching up on my reading for work, I decide that Anna has had enough sleep. It's dusk outside, and we have to leave in 45 minutes for dinner at my parents'. It's been easier to concentrate on my work, knowing that she's upstairs in her bedroom. Weird. Well, I know she's safe up there. From the refrigerator, I take a carton of cranberry juice and a bottle of sparkling water.